your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please sit. I think you have street pastors in Basingstoke, do you? Yes, I doubt you have them in Hook.
No, not yet.
You don't go nightclubbing in Hook very often, Marion. No, well, they're closed at the moment anyway, aren't they? But if you ask any street pastor, they will tell you that most young people will say that they heard first about Jesus from their grandparents. Indeed, usually it's their gran. So well done, all the grands in the congregation or watching at home. But for the first time since St. Augustine was sent to re-evangelize the Christian church in this country in the 6th century, we have families of grandparents, parents and children who have no knowledge at all about Jesus Christ. Some say that because of this, the church is reaching its sell-by date. Now, I tend not to get wound up by such dire warnings, not because I'm complacent or I bury my head in the sand, but because I believe in the grace and goodness of God, a God who has guided the church for 2,000 years, and I really don't see why God is going to stop guiding us now. However, I do think that the church of tomorrow will be very different from the church of today. And that the church of today is very different from the church of yesterday, especially in the light of all that we have experienced in this past 16 months or so during the pandemic. But the church generally, and the Church of England specifically, is always changing. And this morning, through your confirmation, it's changing again. Because we are welcoming you with all the gifts and abilities and devotion to our Lord that you bring as you become full members of Christ's church. We are also giving thanks that you have been blessed with such wonderful parents, godparents, supportive families, a team of ministers and a church family who also want to support and encourage you. In other words, you have been helped on your spiritual journey by so many people, and this is an opportunity for you to thank them. Put it another way, if all the churches in this country were like those in the Whitewater Benefice, the future of the Church of England would seem much rosier. But what we have to remember is that despite the rise of secularism and the lack of knowledge about Jesus, before the pandemic, every year, Anglican clergy in this country welcomed over 250,000 people into their churches just through baptisms, weddings, and funerals. So the opportunity for growth, the opportunity for more people to know about the love of God in their lives is there. But we have to seize that opportunity. If you were in church last Sunday, you probably heard the reading that comes just before the one that we've heard this morning from St. Mark's Gospel. In that reading, Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee sleeping in a boat when a storm blew up. His disciples, naturally, were very frightened, but Jesus calmed the storm. It's a story that reminds us of how God brought order out of chaos in the account of creation, as we have it in the book of Genesis. And Jesus demonstrates how God remains just as decisive and active in the world through the new creation which Jesus offers to us. Following that story in St. Mark's Gospel, there's another which we haven't heard, where Jesus restores a distressed man who has been possessed by evil. And again, in that story, a kind of storm is calmed through the decisive actions of Jesus, the bringer of the new creation. And now, in the gospel reading that we've just heard, we hear how Jesus brings healing to those who believe in him. Another way of being decisive and active in the world and bringing order out of chaos. Just as in Genesis, God gives life to another human being, Adam, now Jesus restores life to a human being, the daughter of Jairus. By placing the story of restoring life to the daughter of Jairus at this point in the gospel, following the calming of the storm and the encounter with the man who'd been possessed, the writer is really hammering home the key point that God continues to act decisively in the world through Jesus, the bringer of the new creation. And the truth is that God still acts decisively in the world and is acting like that this morning through you who are making this commitment as you affirm your wish to follow the teachings of Jesus. And God is going to confirm upon you the Holy Spirit to empower and strengthen and enable you to do just that. And it's this truth that God is at work in the world today that we must try and ensure is heard clearly by society. And when it's heard by society, then the church will grow as it has in ages past. Jairus had a deep need which he believed that Jesus could help. He did not know him personally, but he had heard about him from others, and so he was prepared to trust him. Jairus was a man of authority, and the crowd would have thought it amazing that he should kneel at the feet of Jesus and beg him for help. But so great was his need, he turned to Jesus, and his newfound faith was rewarded. Now, I think that there are many in our society today who are seeking healing and a new life in some form or another. Indeed, there may be some sharing in our worship here in this church this morning, or certainly watching at home, for whom this gospel passage speaks directly and who simply don't know what to do next. And if that is you, then for goodness sake, please do something about it. Contact Marion or Shona or any of the team here, or even speak to the rest of the congregation who come week by week, and discuss your feelings with them. Learn from their experiences. I'm sure they would be only too pleased to help you. Many of us are reluctant to talk about Jesus and what he has done in our own lives, in the way that clearly people had been talking as he traveled around the towns and villages he visited, so that Jairus had come to hear and believe. And as I find myself saying in every single parish that I visit, if you don't tell the people of this community about Jesus, then nobody else is going to. I recently heard a brilliant story at a men's breakfast. A young man was there because his grandfather had first told him about Jesus, and then when his own son had come home from school and wanted to know more about Jesus, this young man had started attending church with both his son and his grandfather, and as a result, he himself had come to know something more about Jesus himself. It's not rocket science. Most people start that journey of faith through the influence of another person. Glossy pamphlets, lively music, and the most stimulating of sermons are okay, but in the end, it's the testimony, it's other people's stories that have the greatest impact, which is why I'm so grateful to Molly for having shared hers this morning. If we're going to be true to the great commission that Jesus has given us to go and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then we need to share our stories. We need to be able to tell people what brings us here week by week. Perhaps it's the cake, I don't know, but whatever it is, we need to tell them. And try it. Most people, you will find, are far more interested than you think they're going to be, because they look on us with envy. They know that we have found something in our lives that helps us get through, and they're looking for that themselves. Many people, actually, even in this community here in Hook, feel isolated, and they want to belong. And if you still feel daunted at the idea of bringing others to know Christ, then think about how that Great Commission ends. Jesus said, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." May those of you about to be confirmed, and all of us, whatever stage we have reached on our spiritual journeys, remember the whole time that Jesus walks with us and will help us to find the right words and opportunities to tell others how he walks with them too, even though they may not recognize him. We may find that we have that sense of healing and new creation in our lives that he offers to us and all people who follow him is going to be of particular help to others as we emerge into a very different world after what we've been through with this pandemic. I end with a story from Celtic Christianity. A very old man went out one day into the land beside his house and started planting fruit trees. A young man walked by and noticed him. "What are you doing?" the young man asked. "Planting fruit trees," the old man replied. The young man was puzzled. "But you're old, and it takes years for trees to mature. You'll not enjoy that fruit in your lifetime," said the young man. "The fruit I've enjoyed in my lifetime," said the old man, "has been from trees that people planted before me. So to express my gratitude to them, I am planting trees to give fruit to those who come after me." I'm sure there are many of my age who can relate to that. To our confirmation candidates, and to you all, I say in my best strictly voice, keep planting! So, I'm now going to ask the candidates, please, to stand.